Hello everybody, I'm George Martin. Thanks for coming back to my channel. I'm talking about the UK state pension with its notorious triple lock. The triple lock, are there three factors to be considered? Inflation, that's a consumer price index, the average earnings growth, and a minimum of 2.5%. So the pension will go up each April with whichever of those is the highest. If inflation's highest, it goes up with that. Remember, inflation was 10% some years. If average earnings growth is higher than inflation, it'll go up with that. Or if 2.5% is higher than both of those, it'll go up by 2.5%. So that's it. So it's been there since 2011, and the aim is to prevent from pensioners' incomes falling in real terms. So it's unsustainable, and that's been the elephant in the room. So Tony Blair, not a man I agree with very much, an absolute monster, a scumbag, a Pinocchio, a mass murderer, a constitutional vandal, just low down, demagogic, religious scumbag. But, you know, even the devil can speak true. He makes a lot of public utterances and just occasionally he hits the mark. That it can't carry on like this. I mean, that is the economic fact people have to face, however unpalatable it is, we need to swallow it. And up until now, talk about politically unacceptable. That was the third rail of politics. You touch that, it's instant death. Because, you know, the grey vote. Because people over 67 claim the state pension are an increasingly large percentage of voters, because you can vote over the age of 18 sort of life expectancy about 80. How of those people, pensioners are a considerable block. Is it like over 20% of those with the right to vote are over 67? And another point is because of turnout is higher the older you are. With an exception. So they're not 20% of the voters. So those who actually vote, they're saying like 30%. And that is a very considerable fraction. They're those who are not over 67, but close to it. And they don't want to impact their pension. People in the late teens and 20s, that's so far away, they don't really think about it. But they're the least likely to vote. Now, the very elderly, the over 90s, they become a bit less likely to vote because they're sometimes senile. Okay, so pensioners, they don't have a lot of time in their hands. They don't have a lot of money. In the old days of the final salary scheme, 50% of your final salary. You usually don't get that one anymore. But anyway, they're not very physically fit. They can't be jogging very much, but they're often watching the telly, reading newspapers. Even those who weren't particularly curious about politics, they start to take an interest and they are asserted, they fight for their rights. In North Britain, there was even a pensioners' party. Back in the early 2000s, they had a couple of people elected to the Scottish Parliament. And then Theresa May, when she was standing in 2017 as a Conservative Prime Minister, she made some remarks about adjusting the state pension. Well, there was uproar and pensioners were up in arms about this. So the Conservative Party had to very quickly backtrack after 5 days. And that wobble went from the Conservatives being on pace for a landslide to scraping home by only 2 percentage points. So the Conservative Party learnt a very painful lesson from that. They got a real fright from that one. They dare not tinker with the state pension. But Tony Blair has said this, and some Labour and Conservative MPs are saying something's got to be done. We just can't afford it. Another thing is, so we look back to the origins of this, and this was to tide you over, because David Lloyd George, when he was Chancellor Exchequer in that Labour government, Liberal government, right before the Second World War, he brought it in. People thought he was Lord George. They couldn't believe a plain mister could do something so munificent. And, he set the state pension age, was it 65 for men? That was beyond life expectancy. So if you claimed, you often claimed it for just a year, time to put your affairs in order before you died. 65 now was like 85 today. So 65 then was like 85 today, at least. Most people never reached that age. Now, it used to be 60 for women. That was equalised, 66 for both sexes, rising to 67, quite rightly rising to 68 from 2044 onwards. But, you know, that should be done much sooner. That was the basic state pension. You didn't get any of it if you had ever spent a day in prison. It was non-contributory because, of course, there's no national insurance till about 1910. And so that's increased. That's the basic state pension. You can get some higher state pension depending on your national insurance contributions. No national insurance contributions set by Westminster. It's the same for Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales and England. Whereas income tax, that is varied. The United Kingdom decides that severally. So that's another important factor. So people, when they set this scheme up, people were mostly leaving school, going to full-time education at the age of 12. Now they're mostly leaving education age 21. So 21 to 67 is only 46 years of working life. As opposed to if it was 12 to 65, that was 53 years of working life. 46 years as opposed to 53 years, that's a big difference. So that difference of 7 years, of 7 years of paying in. Plus, there's so many youngsters who say, I've got anxiety, I've got depression, aren't working for years, slobbing around. Now, depression, anxiety are not new. They have always existed, but they were not an option. You get off your ass, you go to work. That's it. You will work or you will starve. And we're not tolerating this nonsense. Okay. And that's it, the end of. And obviously people had to just get on with it. How depressing was the Great Depression? Somehow there wasn't an outbreak of depression. You'd have to work. Anyway, so we're being overly indulgent. And if we sort of incentivize this, being malingering, then more people are going to do it. So the system has got to change, but who's going to have the courage to do it? It would require a cross-party consensus. It'd be very tempting for an insurgent party like Reform United Kingdom to appeal to the grave eight, saying, oh, we will never interfere with your pensions. Of course, we'll pay it very, very high, but it's an increasingly heavy burden. It's an increasingly crushing burden on those of working age. So that the idea is that you have money to play with, to enjoy yourself for 10 or 20 years after you stop working. And people stop working at 65 because they're physically wrecked. They did physically demanding jobs in factories, farms, coal mines, shipyards, construction sites, and so on. But that's not the case. Most of us do sedentary jobs, and you can work from home, and we're not physically played out as we used to be. So raising it, the various options, you can raise the pension age, you can make it more contributory, that you're going to get less if you pay in less, or other things. You can put in more taxpayers' money. Could you give more tax incentives to go for private schemes and say that the state pension is absolute bare minimums to keep body and soul together, and you will never have a spare penny? Rather than the idea we should have dignity in old age, which means a nice time and a few treats. We've got to say that's overgenerous and that's just unaffordable. If you want a comfortable retirement, you're going to have to put in a lot much sooner and things like that. Or maybe riskier investments with the pensions and so on. It's a bit of a Ponzi scheme. The new money pays for the old money, and the population was growing. That was all well and good. When there was almost no one on benefits, that was sustainable. It's not anymore. When they set up the system, about 10 workers for every pensioner, we're now down to about 2 workers for every pensioner. We're going to get to a situation there's one person working for every pensioner. It's a situation places like Japan and South Korea are staring in the face. So one of my suggestions is people currently in their 60s, you can retire at 67. In their 50s, you're going to retire at 68. You've got some fair warning, time to prepare for that. Currently in their 40s, you're going to have to work to your 69. Currently your 30s, you're going to work to your 70. Currently your 20s, you're going to have to work to your 71. Currently your teens, you're going to have to work to your 72. Currently below the age of 10, you're going to have to work to your 73. The generation as yet unborn over the next 10 years to their 74. And the 10 years after that to their 75, and the 10 years after that to their 77. And so over the next century, gradually raise it to 77 with increasing longevity and technology, meaning that the work is less burdensome, less physically demanding, less labor intensive in that sense. What do you think? What's your plan? And the political backlash, there's got to be the political will to do this. But people are just very worried. It lacks the political courage. The problem about democracy, one of its many problems, is the short term is not the long termism. Politicians thinking of the next election, the next 5 years in this lustrum cycle, building up problems, just like Tony Blair with it, with private finance initiatives, because by the time the solids hit the fan, he'll be the out of office or dead, and not saying, no pain, no gain. We're going to have the short term suffering for a long term gain, and we'll feel the benefits over the decades and the centuries. Right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.